Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to SheerEnjoyment.com. We have a beautiful recap of a parsha on Balak. And it's interesting. I'll just open up with a story that I saw in a book by Rav Aryeh Levin. And he says that during the 73 war, the Egyptians took over the Israeli radio station that they were broadcasting the military movements, etc. And they said that the Israelis have entered into Cairo and that they're taking over the city. And when the war ended, they asked them about this because it clearly was untrue. They asked them about what this whole broadcast was about. And they said that we were hoping that Jews would stop praying because there's a certain power to their speech. Lo and behold, what ended up happening was the reverse for their side because the Egyptian generals believed what the Egyptian propaganda was disseminating and they just lost hope and they stopped fighting as hard as they could have. And so the war, thank God, turned in our favor. But clearly, Parshas Balak is a parsha that is like a voice record. The Chasam Sofer brings down that everything that we know about is brought to us from our forefathers. So we know about Gan Eden because Adam Rishon was in Gan Eden. And he told his children, Cain and Hevel, about Gan Eden. And then from every generation forward, we have a glimpse of what Gan Eden is all about. That's not the same case with Parshas Balak. This is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to transmit to us. And there's a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Beis that brings down that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah wanted to create a segment of our tefillah to include the entire parsha of Parshas Balak. But they recognized that it would be Tircha D'Tzibura, something that is difficult for the minyan to handle, so therefore they snubbed that idea, but they kept one pasuk, Matovu Lachi Yaakov Mishma Sachi Yisrael. I'd like to try to focus a little bit of our attention on this pasuk tonight, and try to draw out why we say this pasuk every single morning. And the answer is that if you look at Rashi, Rashi gives us a cryptic answer. He says that our dalsos, our doors, did not open up into someone else's home. So that meant that when we left our home, we saw a brick wall. Then when we moved a little bit further, we were able to see the other homes in the vicinity. But what was the benefit of not seeing into someone else's house? And that is that we were not able to be jealous. We all know that if someone is jealous, then it could lead to hatred, and hatred could culminate in murder. And so if you look at the last five of the Asar HaDibros, Lo Tirtzach, Lo Sinaf, Lo Sigzal, all of these commandments, the Ramban explains that they're all a kolel, that the tenth of Lo Sachmod, not to be jealous, is a kolel on the prior four or so. Because if we're careful not to be jealous, then we will not end up stealing, either by day or by night, and we will not end up having a form of hatred, and we will certainly not end up murdering someone else. So this is one of the shmiros. So as a result of not seeing into the dalsos of our neighbor, into the door, to the opening of the homes of our neighbors, we weren't jealous, and as a result, we didn't speak poorly. And when we do not speak poorly about one another, it is very difficult for the Umas Olam, specifically Bilam, to speak poorly about us. And so, what's the messaging over here? We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason why this is included here, my chavrus likes to say, Rabbi von Backenroth, that, and I hope I say this right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't look so closely into my mouth, and please don't look so closely into my actions, because if you did, you might find something that you didn't like, and you might be rather unamused by my actions. So therefore, I'm not looking so closely into someone else's actions. Please don't look so closely into mine. And as a result, we clean the slate. Now we have a fresh start. And then we can ask Hashem for Baruch Aleinu HaShana Azos. We can ask Hashem for Brachos. We can ask Hashem for Yeshuos, Refuos, and all the wonderful things that we seek in our daily lives and, frankly, the lives of our children, of our parents, of our spouse, our relatives, Yedidim, Shechenim, the Krovim, Rabbeim, all the wonderful people that are involved in our lives. We can wish the same for them as well. So that is the reason why we say Matovo Lecha Yaakov, Mishkan Asecha Yisrael, the dwellings of Israel. The Olecha, again referring to not just the Vesuli Mikdash Shachanti B'Socham, that refers to one of our homes, that Hashem should be comfortable moving in or settling in our homes because it's a Makam Torah, because it's a place where we're careful with our speech, it's a place where we're careful with our actions, but also the Batei Knesios, the Batei Tefilos, and the Batei Midrashos. So that is the reason why Matovo Lecha Yaakov, Mishkan Asecha Yisrael is at the forefront of our daily tefillah. The second is, interestingly enough, that some say that Bilam was the reincarnate of Lavan, the same neshama. This is brought down by the Rizal. Some say that Lavan and Bilam were the same person. And so the next segment of this, we also say another pasuk under the chuppah to a kala. We say ati la'alfi ravava v'yir azarech eish shar sonav. Why do we say this pasuk, and what does it mean? That you should be like tens of thousands, and your children shall inherit the gates of their enemies. So first, if you think about it, Rivka's soon-to-be father-in-law, right? Laban said this to his sister Rivka, and she said she wants to go with the man to go and visit Avram's son, Yitzchak. And so this whole exchange is predicated upon this blessing, and we take that blessing, and we use it at every chuppah. And the question is why? Because if you listen closely, it sounds like there's something restrictive in the sense that it's only tens of thousands. But Avraham Avinu, we know, was given the blessing that his children will be kechokhvei ha-shamayim, v'chacho, asher al-saf ha-yam, like the sands on the seashore and like the stars in the sky, none of which we can count. Can't count either one. And yet, if you say tens of thousands, you can argue tens of thousands could be 100,000, but not greater than 1,000,000. So therefore, we wouldn't have more than 1,000,000 in our people. That's a little bit restrictive, and that's clearly not evident. So what does this mean? It means that we will have leaders. There'll be tens of thousands of leaders in each generation, perhaps more. Again, it's a moving target, rather fluid, that will be filled with chesed. They will start chaverim, they will start misaskim, and they will start tomchei shabbos and hatzalah and countless other chesed-related organizations that are there to help those in need and to supply them with the resources and the encouragement to succeed. This is what Alfi Ravava refers to, because it is a continuation of the bracha that Avram received of Olam Chesed Yibaneh, that you will build a world filled with chesed. And Rivka Imenu was going to carry that messaging going forward. And we see that in the bracha, it also includes the word sonacha, which refers to Esav Sona Es Yaakov. When we look at the Akedah by Avraham Avinu, it says the same pasuk, V'yirash Zarech Es Shar Oivav. Why? Because Yishmael was the son of Avraham Avinu, and he was referred to Oyev, whereas Esav, the son of Rivka, was known as Esav Sona Es Yaakov. So that's why it says V'yir Azarech Eish Shar Sonav by Rivka. And it means that through the chesed, the nations of the world will open up the gates of their cities, give you the keys to their cities, so to speak, and promote the chesed that you're doing. And we see this today in our own lives. We see how all of these wonderful organizations receive city and state recognition for all the chesed that they're doing and for alleviating a lot of the stress points on the fire department to respond to emergency calls through Hatzalah, and all of the distribution of food. Is incredible how far and how vast this network really is. So kol hakavod to Kol Yisrael, kol hakavod to each of you for doing your share in helping one another. And this really is the messaging that we wanted to try to extract from the parsha and imbue it into our daily lives, where we can see the blessings come through. Matov olach Yaakov b'nishma asach Yisrael. Let's make sure to try to stay positive, think positive. As the Kedushas Lady says at the beginning of the parsha, he says that the reason why Moab wanted to distance itself from Klal Yisrael was because we were so attractive. The closer they were to us, the more and more people came over to our side because they saw something beautiful. It could be the lighting of the candles on Friday night. It could be the beautiful way that we conduct ourselves in public. It could be any one of those many things and so much more. So this is Mordechai Platt wishing you the very best. I'm actually finishing on time tonight and giving just a recap that we now understand why Matov Olach Yaakov Mishkasach Yisrael is the pasuk that we open up with when we begin our tefillos, as well as another blessing that came from the same individual or perhaps his grandfather, Lavan, that we say under the chuppah, each and every chasna, we should only go to Simchas and have reasons to smile. We should have Hatzlacha this week. We should have Bracha this week. We should have a stress-free week. And those that create stress, we should try our best to learn how to diffuse it and to knock it out. So I give everyone this bracha. I need it myself. Also, happy, happy birthday to Aryeh Perlman. Shabbat Batamas. I hope you're listening, Aryeh. I hope that you and your family have a wonderful, wonderful birthday party with you in Beaver Lake, and that you should only have many happy and healthy returns. Take care. All the best.
Amen.
Thank you, Nimoy.